Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning Leilui Nishmasa and the Zeicha Nishmasa Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashalom, and Hashem should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning. It should be especially a zchus for her family, Rabbisor's Tovus and Simchus, their continued support of Torah, and allowing us to remain connected even during this very difficult time to be mechazik each other. I hope to be mechazik ourselves. With words of Torah to keep us going until Bezros Hashem we could meet soon. I also want to give a thanks to Eli Sheva Shlam and Mr. Mark Gold for helping us set up the Zoom. Last week didn't work out so well. Mr. Gold gave me a lot of time on the phone with patience dealing with me and helped me. So welcome everybody. And now I guess you could see me and I could see some of you. So we are actually starting, Esther will be very happy. We are starting a new chapter, okay? Chapter 21, and we are coming to the end of the Sefer. Just have to put everything, here's my recorder. Hashem's love for us and our love for Him, that is what this chapter is called. Hashem's love for us and our love for Him, really coming towards the end. So we're still talking about the reciprocal relationship with Ahavas Hashem. Seeing Hashem's love for us inspires us to love Him. So when we recognize that God loves us, it inspires us to love Him. So I'll tell you something interesting during this time. So that's only on the introduction. I didn't even say anything yet. I didn't even read a sentence. But I just find so much hashkacha and so much siyata jismaya during this time. No, I did not find my briset. But when I find I'm concerned about something or I'm nervous about something, I just feel like Hashem reassures me. For example, 2 weeks ago, we were very low on produce. Very low. And like we were eating frozen fruit with the cottage cheese and yogurt. Okay, but I haven't been to a store since April 7th. I haven't gone anywhere, so it's not so easy figuring out how to get things into the house. I had a shiur that morning on teleconference, and that afternoon, I described eating frozen sweet cherries with cottage cheese, and I said, Baruch Hashem, at least we have that. And that afternoon, around, I just was after lower the volume on my computer, that's what that ding was. That afternoon, around 3 o'clock, there's a ring at the door. And my husband says, did you put in an order from Woodmere Farms? I never even knew about Woodmere Farms. I never ordered anything from Woodmere Farms. I said, no. He said, well, the delivery guy insists that this is free. He has a big box of produce. I see melon. I see pineapple. I see vegetables. And right away, I knew that obviously some woman or women from the morning class called Woodmere Farms and sent me a fruit delivery. This week, we made an order from the bagel store. Three youngest of Woodmere Chesed Committee. And some in the family wanted the plain bagel. Some wanted the everything bagel. Some wanted butter. Some wanted vegetable cream cheese. And I wasn't ordering two packages. I only ordered one package. Lo and behold, they delivered too much. They delivered a double package. We ended up with everything bagels and plain bagels and cream cheese and butter and double Danishes. And of course, we called and we said, you sent us the wrong thing. You sent too much. Well, they're not allowed to take anything back. They said, just keep it. I said to the child who wanted the other stuff at dinner, I said, you see, Hashem's taking care of you. And my daughter was very anxious this week because her Chromebook from school wasn't working. I said, you know what I find? When I'm nervous about something, I feel really Hashem is taking such care of us. He's saying, you were worried about the fruit, nervous, here's fruit. You were wondering what to do about the bagels to order, here it is. And when we feel Hashem's love for us, that's just on the first sentence in this chapter, but these are all true stories that I'm telling you. When you feel Hashem's love for you, it really inspires you to feel, inspires us to love Him. He gives us so much. He's saying, I'm right here, even during this hard time. Eli Sheva called in and said, you know, I think we should be on Zoom, Michal. It'll be much better if the women can see you. And here we are. And that inspires us further to love Eli Sheva, to love each other, to be able to connect. So in the previous, I'm sure you all have your own stories where you really see Yad Hashem. Don't forget the shiur of 2 weeks ago. Even when you don't see it, He still loves you. Oh, very nice. Okay, women are happy with this. Good. In the previous, by the way, I meant to say this. I can unmute it because it's going to turn into a yontef, no pun intended. But there's a way to chat. So I did this lesson in a Megillus Rosh here, and what I suggested was that if the women have questions, I don't want to start to be bombarding with having to read your text, but you could chat on the Zoom. And if I say something you don't understand or you want a comment or a question, put it there. And that's a good way to reach out to me because if I open it up, it's not going to work. But that's a good way for you to access me. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. Yes, no, the people I could see. Good idea? Yeah, if you have questions, you'll put it on the chat there. Okay. Conditional love. Oh, in the previous chapter, we spoke about conditional love of Hashem. We said, first of all, you must recognize the source of everything you have. This has two aspects. You must realize you are not the source. Clearly, I'm not the source. I was so overwhelmed by that fruit box that came. I was almost crying. I didn't even know who it was. They didn't want to even sign their name. We called the fruit guy to find out the cell phone number so I could look it up in my contacts. I was so overwhelmed. Of course, I'm not the source. I'm not the source of anything that I have. And Hashem is the source. Conditional love involves one person giving to another over and over again. That's what conditional love is. It's based on the condition that one person is giving to another, as a result of which the giver and the recipient become emotionally attached to each other. Think of a parent-child relationship. Or I was even thinking when I prepared this of an adoptive parent and an adopted child. How is it that they can truly love each other like a parent and child? Because it comes from love. What is love? Love is giving. One person giving to another, as a result of which the giver and the recipient become emotionally attached to each other. In other words, it is not merely the gift that attaches them. You don't love that person only because of the gift they give you. You love that person because they gave you something. They're giving to you. That very act of giving engenders love. Excuse me, I remember my brother, who's a Rabbi in Har Torah, told me many years ago, when he gets a gift from a Talmud, doesn't matter what the gift is, before he even opens it up, it means something that you're giving to me. And that engenders feeling of love. It's actually brought down in the biography of Yosef Tendler Zatzal. He was a Menahal, a Nesu of Baltimore. He was actually our Masada Kedushin. He flew to Toronto as our Masada Kedushin. Rav Yosef Tendler, there's a story. Talmud was sent to the Menahal's office. He was misbehaving in class. Rabbi Tendler said to him, why were you sent out of class? So the boy said, I don't like my teacher. Rabbi Tendler said, what do you mean you don't like him? He's a Jew. You have to like him. Love for your fellow what you love for yourself. So the boy said, Rabbi, what should I do? I don't like him. So Rabbi Tendler said, give him gifts and then you will like him. Give him gifts and you will come to love him. We think it's the opposite. We think if we give gifts, the other person will love us. But actually, if we give gifts, we will come to love the person we are giving to. And continues the author. In other words, it's not merely the gift itself that attaches these people. But as the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Basra, a person who gives a gift does so with a good eye, with a generous eye. Instead of a tsarus eye and a narrowness or a stinginess of the eye, you give with a generous eye. And that engenders feeling of love. Think of people in your life. When you give something, who feels better, the recipient or the giver? Oftentimes, it's the giver who actually feels better than the recipient themselves. The generous act comes to bond two people together. When you spend your whole life giving, what you really end up with is a relationship of love. When Reuven gives repeatedly to Shimon, Shimon feels that Reuven loves him, and he in turn feels love for Reuven, becomes a circle of love. This is conditional love. It depends on Reuven's giving. If he will give for a while and then stop, what will happen is that the reciprocal feeling of love will weaken. A parent never stops giving to their child. Sometimes you have cases. I'm just opening this to anyone. No, okay. Sometimes you have cases. Unfortunately, Rahman al-Litzan, the Almighty should have mercy on us, where parents and children do not, unfortunately, get along. It's perhaps the most painful reality. That could be while they are both still alive. The relationship has stopped. And very often what happens in that case is that the parents stop giving to the children. Not always. There are exceptions. This is not the norm. God forbid, we should never know. Sometimes what happens is they stop giving to each other. And one of the basic human needs is to give to somebody else and to receive from somebody else. And that engenders love. That's just how Hashem made the world. This is conditional love because it depends on Reuven's giving. If he will give for a while and then stop, the reciprocal feeling of love will weaken. And Shimon might even feel Reuven doesn't like him anymore. Isn't it true? You know, I'm going to give you a personal example. I hope this person's not going to listen to the shiur. But there's someone who usually texts me at some point close to Shabbos, do you need this? Do you need that? Do you need this? Do you need that? What can I give you? And last week, they didn't text me. So I reached out to them. It's not even that you need, it just symbolizes a relationship. So Thursday, I reached out and I said, are you okay? This is true. I really thought maybe they were upset at me. Maybe their husband said, you have to stop asking her what she needs. Let her fend for herself. Don't text. I promise. Never tell a lie. This is a true story. And I momish reached out and I said, are you okay? And her reply was, hi, do you want a potato cookie for Shabbos? So I wasn't looking for the potato cookie for Shabbos. That wasn't the point. But the fact that there wasn't the giving, I really thought I did something wrong. Do you understand? When the giving stops, somehow you think there's something broken in the relationship. If two spouses stop giving to each other, and I don't mean gifts all the time, dinner, helping with errands, today nobody is cleaning ladies anymore, are we working together? And when the giving stops, you start to wonder if there's something broken in the relationship. That's a question that we have to ask ourselves, and therefore remind ourselves that when we give to somebody else, what we're really doing is engendering love between these two parties, parent to child. The other night, I made for all the kids s'mores for bedtime snack. It was like nothing. I took a Graham Square, I spread some marshmallow fluff, and I made chocolate chips in the shape of a heart. And I went to each of them with a plate, from the oldest to the youngest. I don't have babies in my house, but all their ages. And we keep a gratitude journal. Some of you may have heard me speak about this gratitude journal in different shiurim. And that night, multiple kids put in the gratitude journal, Mommy made me a special dessert. It was the smallest thing. So a Graham Square with some marshmallow fluff, and I put the chocolate chips in the shape of a heart. And something to remind ourselves of, you should love for your fellow what you love for yourself. That's the correct translation based on the Ramban and of Shamshon Falhirsch. Too often it's translated as, you should love your fellow as you love yourself, but that's not the correct translation, because the Ramban explains you cannot love your fellow as you love yourself, but you can love for your fellow what you love for yourself. Shamshon Falhirsch explains in his commentary, which I have next to me, but I'm not going to open up, I was going to quote a lengthy passage from Rav Hirsch, but Shamshon Falhirsch explains it's an intellectual love. I'll quote a little bit of it. Shamshon Falhirsch explains it's an intellectual love. It is not to love the personality of the other person like you love yourself, a requirement that is impossible to fulfill, says Rav Shamshon Falhirsch. You can't truly love someone else, everybody else's personality. It doesn't say, v'ahavta as your husband like yourself. It doesn't say, v'ahavta as your child as yourself. It doesn't say, v'ahavta as your best friend. L're'echa. That's a broad statement. That means I have to love for everybody what I love for myself. We do not have to love the personality of the other person, because that requirement would be impossible to fulfill. The duty of love here does not relate to the personality, because such a condition exists only seldom. Think of all the people you know in the world and all the Jews you know in the world. You don't love everybody else's personality. Such love between souls, harmony and affinity between souls, exist only seldom. Rather, v'ahavta l're'echa kamocha, love to your neighbor, to everything that pertains to his personality, says Rav Hirsch. All the circumstances that determine his position in life, we are to direct our love. You should seek his welfare, just like you seek your welfare. We are to rejoice in his happiness as though it were our own. You should grieve over his sorrow as though it were your own. Assist eagerly in advancing his welfare. Keep trouble away from him as you keep trouble away from yourself. This is a requirement we can fulfill, even in connection with a person with whom we have no affinity. So even if you don't feel kindred spirits with that person, even if you don't love their personality, by seeking their welfare, by feeling their pain, by rejoicing in their joy, by giving to them, you can love them in an intellectual way, even if emotionally you do not feel absolutely connected to that person. The requirement of love, says Rav Hirsch, has nothing to do with the personality of the other person. It is not based on his qualities in terms of v'ahavta l're'echa kamocha, the command in the Torah. Rather, it is based on the end of the pasuk. The pasuk says, lo sikom v'lo sitar es b'nei amecha. You should not take revenge nor bear a grudge against members of your nation. This is Vayikra 19:18, Yotav Sirchas. V'ahavta l're'echa kamocha. You shall love for your fellow what you love for yourself. I am Hashem. Shamshon Falhirsch says, why must you love every other fellow? Because of the end of the pasuk. I am God. Just as you know you were created in the image of God, so too that person was created in the image of God. He loves him as the work of God's hand. By loving his creatures, he ultimately loves God. And he quotes Pirkei Avos, Ohev es hamakom, ohev es habrios. If I love other people, if I love all Jews, but it establishes my love for the Ribono Shel Olam. Oh, I want to tell you something, but my notes are upstairs. Could you give me 30 seconds to go get my notes? Should I unmute you? No, I'm not going to do that because it'll be on the recording. Don't leave, okay? Yes? You're going to leave? No. 30 seconds. You could chat on the thing with each other. I won't see. Okay, I'm back. I don't think that was 30 seconds. Okay. So talking about ohe vesabrios, ohe vesamakom, ohe vesamakom, ohe vesabrios, when we love fellow man, when we give to fellow man, when we recognize the divine spark, ani Hashem, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, what is the whole basis for God saying love for your fellow as you love for yourself? That is the fact that he is created in the image of God. I am created in the image of God. So I want to quote a story. Susan, look what I did. 1, 2, 3. Susan sent me a little video clip that, I'll be honest, I don't have time to watch all the video clips. If anything, I find I have less time now, if it's even possible, than I had before with everybody home all day, Baruch Hashem. It's like a restaurant is being run, Baruch Hashem. So I watched it, Susan, and I know you know because I replied. And I watched it again, and I paused it so I could take notes. So I want to share this story with you on loving others and giving to them. And by the way, giving to others does not only have to be in Gashmias. Giving to others doesn't only have to be sending fruit baskets or a potato kugel. Giving to others can also be in Ruchnias. Giving of yourself in spirituality to others engenders love as well. Listen to this story. This was from, I don't know, a Chabad website, a Chabad video, okay? A rabbi named Shmuel Blazinski. He served in the IDF in 1951. It was a 6-minute interview video with him. He was on a base. He was one of 12 religious soldiers. On a base, Rabbi Shmuel Blazinski. If anybody actually wants the clip, it's 6.5 minutes, I could send it to you. He was one of 12 religious soldiers on a base of 3,000 soldiers. 3,000, 12 dati. He told the dati soldiers, on Friday night, on Shabbat, we will have Shabbat. Come to my tent. We will pray together. We'll take food from the cheder ochel together. We'll eat in my tent. We'll sing. We'll eat. We'll have a Shabbat meal together. So they came. All 12 of them came singing. They had a good time. It was beautiful. The commander of this camp was Rabbi Blazinski said change. I think he means they got a new commander on the camp. On one Shabbat, Friday night, the commander heard singing in the tent. So he came to the tent of these soldiers and he said, what's going on? Why are you not in the Cheder Ochel with all the others? So Rabbi Blazinski says to the camp, I told the commander, this is Shabbat. We are all gathered together for Shabbat. 2 weeks later, an officer comes with the commander. They come to Rabbi Blazinski, who was an IDF soldier at the time, a young man. They say, you have to come to the Cheder Ochel on Friday night. We want you to make kiddush for all the soldiers. So I said, that's a good idea. I will come. So on Friday night, I come to the dining room, and I see an orchestra playing in the dining room. So I say, I'm sorry, I cannot go in. If I go in, they'll think I'm sanctioning the orchestra. It's Shabbat. So I went to the commander. I said, I can't come in. I went back to my tent. So the commander comes to me, I don't know, the next day, 2 days later, that week, and he says to me, why did you shame me? Why didn't you go into the dining room? The commander explained he wants the singing for the whole camp. He wants kiddush for the whole camp. I should come and make Shabbat for the whole camp. But he did not understand chilul Shabbat. He did not understand. You can't have an orchestra playing. So I said, if you stop playing, we will come. So the next Friday night, they go back to the Cheder Ochel, the dining room, normal orchestra. Says Rabbi Blazinski, who was at the time a young IDF soldier, I made kiddush for everyone. A few days later, a commander from a higher rank comes and they want to see me. And I'm taken to this commander from the higher rank who called for me and he said, I apologize to you in the name of the whole headquarters. What do you want? So I said, you know what I want? I want a Beit Knesset on the base. I want a Sefer Torah on the base. 2 weeks later, we have a Beit Knesset, a shul. 2 weeks later, we have a Sefer Torah. And Rabbi Blazinski continues, I wrote this story to the Rebbe, to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the Rebbe's reply changed my life. And then in the video, he pulls out the original letter from the Rebbe, which he still has. People who went to the Rebbe and got a dollar on Sundays keep their dollar. And the letter is dated Elul, 16 Elul, 5711. We're now in 5781. 0, 1951. The letters from the Rebbe. I enjoyed your letter about your activities in the Tzava, in strengthening Judaism amongst your comrades and in your environment. Remember, this is Elul, 16 Elul. We're 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. I very much enjoyed reading this, especially the details. The letter is in Hebrew, and Rabbi Blazinski is holding the original letter from the Babich Rebbe, which has yellowed over time, and he's telling over what the letter says. I especially enjoyed the details. Writing, says the Rebbe, cannot express what you have accomplished and how much I enjoyed your letter. Quote, regarding what you are doing on the base, it is enough that you came to the army only for this. It's enough. Reminds me of what Mordechai said to Queen Esther. A person does not know for what moment in life they have risen to their moment. Malchus, I'm paraphrasing the Megillah. Umi yodea im le'eis kazot, he got l'malchut. Umi yodea im le'eis kazot, he got l'malchus. Esther doesn't want to go to the king. And Achashverosh, Tachashverosh. And Mordechai says to her, wait a minute, Queen Esther. Maybe the whole point of your entire life is this very moment. How could you not go? I'm sure you have all the times in your life when you've given to somebody either spiritually or physically, and you feel like this was the purpose of my life. If I only did this in my life, it's enough. And the Rebbe says, I enjoyed your letter very much about your activities in the Tzava and strengthening Judaism amongst your comrades and the environment. I very much enjoyed reading this, especially the details. Writing cannot express what you accomplished and how I enjoyed it. Regarding what you are doing, and this part's a direct quote, that if you came to the army only for this, it's enough. And then the Rebbe finished with a very quote, I have a very important personal request. Limsor birchati l'chol chaveirav batzahal. Limsor birchati, to give my blessing to all of his friends in the army. To give each soldier my blessing. Lo kemosha hu kotev b'michtav. The Babich Rebbe was obviously dictating to someone who was actually writing the letter. Ze lo kemosha hu kotev b'michtav. It's not correct what he wrote in his letter to me, said the Babich Rebbe, that he is the only soldier in the IDF. That's not true. How do you pronounce this? Esther? Adage? Adage? A-D-A-G-E? Adage? Elisheva? Yeah? Okay. For the adage of my father-in-law, the Rebbe is well-known. This is the Babich Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, saying the old adage? Yeah? Of my father-in-law, the Rebbe is well-known. You think you're only one of 12? You think those other 3,000 aren't connected to God? You think they're not datim just because they don't know about Shabbat? You think they're not connected? You think they don't have a Jewish neshama? The adage of my father-in-law is well-known. A Jew neither wants nor is able to be sundered from godliness. A Jew neither wants nor is able to be sundered from godliness. And therefore, all of your comrades are religious. It's very interesting to me because I've just started reading this week a book called Like Dreamers, about the Six-Day War, but it describes much of the early state and how secular they were on the kibbutzim, the Shomer Tzair, the founders of the state, on Mino Yom Kippur, eating pork. They were really not religious. And yet the Babich Rebbe says in 1951, 3 years after the establishment of the state, you think they're only one of 12 datiim? No, like my father-in-law teaches, a Jew neither wants nor is able to be sundered from godliness. Therefore, says the Rebbe, all of your comrades are religious. All the soldiers are religious to the Rebbe, says Shmuel Blazinski. I found, for me, there were 12 Dati soldiers. For the Rebbe, every Jew is connected to God. It is simply that some of them, continued the Rebbe, lack the knowledge of this. They will not remain distant forever. They will realize they too believe in God and in his Torah. And therefore, please convey to all of them my blessing for aktiva v'chatima tova, l'shana tova u'mituka. I should go, said Rabbi Blazinski, to every soldier and tell them, the Lubavitch Rebbe blessed you, l'shana tova. You should have a good, sweet year. You should be written and inscribed for good. Quote, this changed in my mind the way I look at a Jew. Until then, said Rabbi Blazinski, I used to think they are religious. They are not religious. There's kippah, there's no kippah. There's dati, there's chiloni. Before I would have nothing to do with the non-religious. I took Shabbat to my tent. But the Rebbe says to me, no, every Jew knows Shabbat. Every Jew has a neshama that's connected. Every Jew is religious. This, the Rabbi Blazinski says, changed my life and changed the way that I view other Jews. And when the Pasuk says, V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha, and Rabbi Akiva says, Hukal gadol v'torah, it's not saying if we're exactly alike, then you have to love them. You give to another Jew and it engenders feelings of friendship and a loving relationship. Why? Because the Pasuk ends and says, Ani Hashem. That's all you have to know. I am God. It doesn't matter what else you know. You have to know I am Hashem. I am the Ribbono Shel, and therefore we are required to love every other Jew. And it's something important for us to keep in mind, especially during this time. Perhaps we're trying to bring Yeshua. I don't know if everybody saw that now there's a disease appearing in children that they think is related to COVID. We desperately need Yeshua. Rabbi Akiva says, Zakal Gadol B'Torah. If you want to know what the great principle of Torah is, it's to love for your fellow what you love for yourself. And that comes by giving. When Reuven repeatedly gives to Shimon, Shimon feels Reuven loves him, and he in turn feels love for Reuven. That's conditional love. It depends on Reuven's giving. If he stops giving, you might text the person who texts you every week and says, are you okay? You might feel it doesn't love you anymore. Like Rabbi Tandler said, if you give, you will love your teacher. Papa Beach 215. Unconditional love cannot disappear because it is inherent. So conditional love can disappear if it's only based on giving. Of course, if we give to the people that we love, it won't disappear when you stop giving. But there is the fear that when you stop, love will disappear. Not so unconditional love. Unconditional love cannot disappear. It is inherent. With conditional love, though, if the person stops giving, the impetus for renewed love is gone, and even the pre-existing love weakens. So if you imagine a relationship that is only based on giving, giving is an expression of the love. But if the relationship is only based on giving, then when the giving stops, the relationship stops. Obviously, do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a difference. If the relationship is only based on give and take, then when the give and take ceases, there's no more relationship. That's conditional love. If, however, there's unconditional love and the expression of the love is the give and take, then if people end up in a matzav where they can no longer give and take, there's still love. Rabbi Akiva and his wife, after they were disowned by Kalba Savua, they had to sleep in a straw shed. And in the morning, he would pick straw out of her hair. And he said to her, if I had but the means, I would buy you a Yerushalayim Shalzav. It was a golden tiara that the aristocracy wore during that time at the skyline of Jerusalem. So he wanted to give her. Their love was not based on giving. When love is not based on giving, the giving enhances the love. If the love is only based on giving, then when the giving stops, the love stops. Make sense? You understand? Did I explain? Okay. The people I could see, yes. Okay. However, if the impetus for renewed love is gone because there's no more giving, even the pre-existing love weakens. When you really want to attain, which is why they say that a child can never love, I'm taking a break, a parent, the way a parent loves a child, because their parent spends their whole entire life giving to their child. And yes, the child would like to give back to a degree, but they can really never give back what the parent has given them. And isn't that a metaphor for our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam? He gives, and he gives, and he gives, and he gives. So who loves who more? And you shall love Hashem, my God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your ma'od, your resources, and every measure that he gives you. But who gives more in the relationship? That's a rhetorical question. Who gives more? Does God give more to me, or do I, kaviyachal, as if it were possible, give anything to him? What do I give him? A bracha without kavana? A rash davening? An impatient word? A lashon hara I spoke about somebody else. What do I give God? And yet he continues to give. Take a breath. Can any of us take it for granted today that breath you just took with your lungs working is the biggest matana, the biggest gift from Hashem? Who gives more in our relationship? Hashem gives and gives and gives and gives. And when we think of a parent and child on a humanistic level, it makes so much sense. The child can never love. You know, oh, remember that book from my kids were little, I Love You Forever? Who can give more? The parent gives so much, a child can never reciprocate that. When you really want to attain conditional love, you must consider all that Hashem gives you. And you think about everything Hashem gives us, it's endless, it's boundless. He doesn't stop giving. I want to quote from Rabbi Pesach Krog, Footsteps of the Magid. This is actually, I told a different story from it this morning in a share. I couldn't believe it when I looked it up. He was talking about Rav Pam Zatzal when he was still alive. First impression, December 1992. But Torah's timeless. Here we go. Rabbi Pesach Krohn writes, I think we once told the story before in Shir, but it's worth repeating it again. Rav Elia Lopian, he died in 1970. The revered tzaddik and mashkiach of the yeshiva in Kfar Chassidim once depicted in a shmooz, a musar lecture, a tragic scene he heard about many years earlier. So this is Rav Elia Lopian, tells us over, Lopian. During World War I, poverty was rampant. People in many towns and villages throughout Eastern Europe suffered terribly from malnutrition and hunger. In one particular family in Lithuania, there was a young boy who became very ill and exceedingly weak from lack of food. We did tell this over, by the way. We told it from Yitzchak Zilberstein, Aleinu L'Shabeach. This is told over the same teaching from Rav Lopian by Rabbi Pesach Krohn. In one particular family in Lithuania, there was a young boy who became very ill. He was exceedingly weak from lack of food. One day, a group of children came to visit him. As they entered the room and they walked towards his bed, the little boy looked at his father and he said, "Who are these boys?" "They are the boys from your class," his father replied sadly. Because of the malnutrition, he didn't recognize his friends. The father realized that because of the illness, his son's mind was beginning to fail him. He did not recognize his own friends. A few days later, the boy's brother came into the room. Once again, the child said to the father, "Who is this?" The father bent down and he whispered softly into the son's ear, "It is your brother, my child." Not more than a week later, a man stood alongside the bed of the sick child. The youngster looked up at this man, and with great strain, he said, "Who are you?" The man looked down at the little boy, and with tears welling in his eyes, he said, "It is I, my son, your father." Rav Elia Lopian paused for a moment as he pictured the scene in his mind eye, and he exclaimed, "One of the harsh consequences of famine and hunger is it can cause a child to fail to recognize, it can cause a child to fail to recognize even his own father." Do you know what I learned from this? Rav Elia Lopian cried out to his students, "Every Jewish person is created with a nefesh, a soul. And like the body, the soul needs nourishment. The soul must be satiated with tefillah, with Torah. The nefesh requires a daily diet of Torah, supplemented by the performance of mitzvos. If a person does not provide nourishment to his nefesh, it will become weak. It will become infirm, to the point where he may not recognize his Father in heaven." I think it's a challenge today, even more, because we don't have the strengthening of Beis Knesses. We don't have the strengthening of Kriya Satorah. We don't have the strengthening from the rabbi's drasha. We don't have the power of Berov Am Hadras Malach going to Shul and being impacted by the aura, by the environment. I'm being stuck home all day. We have to make sure we fill our time, I'm talking to myself, not to you, with productive activities. So we do not lessen our connection, because if we remember how much Hashem loves us, how much He gives to us, the giving is an expression of the love, not the foundation of the relationship. Key distinction. And how could we not love God back? When you really want to attain conditional love, you must consider all that Hashem gives you. Page 215. But don't stop there. Beyond the things you are getting, think of who is behind all this giving and the love that it expresses. I have to tell you something unbelievable. You remember I lost my bracelet. So anyway, one of my kids worked for a very long time on a Lego ship, spaceship. I can't describe how many hours or so many hours to a day. Very creative. I don't know, days and days over weeks, hours, how intricate, how unbelievable the design was. I mean, it was really how much it weighed. It was unbelievable. Like, it looks like it was built by a professional. And the other night, the child comes up. And they say it broke. It fell, it smashed pieces on the floor. Lafum tsa'ara agra, according to the effort, is the reward. When you put your whole self into something and it breaks, I felt very bad. By now, we are doing gratitude journal, which I've spoken about a lot. And this child's first entry was, I finished the Lego spaceship. I can't tell you how much it weighed, how big it was, how intricate. I'm looking at it broken in another room in the basement. And the second entry was, I'm grateful the Lego spaceship broke. So I said, why did you say that? So the child said, because it was Lego that broke and not something else. And if you remember what I told you about the bracelet, and I said at the Shabbos table, I'm very upset, but I understand Hashem wanted me to lose something. I'm better I should lose this than something else. I couldn't believe it. I'm not talking about an adult child. I'm talking about a younger child. It's over the age of mitzvos. Was able to say, put so much into it. I'm happy it was this and not something else, because when we recognize how much Hashem gives us, we really know how much He loves us. But important, He doesn't give to us because that's the foundation of the relationship. The foundation of the relationship is the ahava. The giving is an expression. If we could only realize that, it would be so much easier for us to truly love Hashem. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to me. To what can this be compared, says the Mechaber. A person is in a forest with nothing to drink. A Jew with a jug of water walks by and gives him some water. The recipient feels tremendous gratitude towards the giver. He was dying of thirst. This man gave him a drink. But he will not think that the man gave him water out of love. It's a total stranger, right? You're in the desert, you're starving. Think of if you're hiking in Israel on some trail and you ran out of water and you're lost in Ein Gedi. This happened to me when I was younger on a tour and it's very scary and someone gives you water. They don't love you. Why did they give you water? Basic humanity. If someone in front of you is dying of thirst, you will do everything you can to save that person by giving them to drink. What's it called? The Good Samaritan? Yeah. Right. You see somebody in an emergency. You don't love them. It could be someone, Rahman on the street, who needs an ambulance. You're going to call them. You have no idea who this person is. But there's another human being in need. So it's not because you love. You're giving, not because you love, because you're basically a decent human being. The recipient, nonetheless, will of course feel some love and appreciation for the giver. The gift was so significant. Yet that love is inspired by the greatness of the gift, not because of the love of the relationship. So I'm trying to illustrate, I hope I'm doing a good enough job, I don't know, I hope, of explaining the difference here. One relationship is based on giving. That is conditional. If the giving stops, the relationship will stop. One relationship is based on love for the other, and the giving is an expression of that love. That love is inspired by the greatness of the gift. The water was great. That's why I love you. Not because I feel the other person's love. And this whole section reminded me, saying that a person is thirsty, jug of water. What are we really thirsting for? The Bavitcher Rebbe said, you know what those 3,000 soldiers are thirsting for? They're not thirsting for an orchestra on Friday night. They're not thirsting for Chilul Shabbat. Like the Navi says, it's a pasuk from Amos, Parak Ches, pasuk Gid Aleph, Amos 8:11. Hine yamim ba'im. Behold, days are coming. I'm sure you know this pasuk was made into a beautiful song. Nu'um Hashem Elokim, promises Hashem God. V'hishlachti ra'av ba'aretz. God says, I will send a hunger in the land. Lo ra'av lalechem, v'lo tzama lamayim, ki'im lishmoa es divrei Hashem. Hashem says, in the end of days, in the future, before Mashiach comes, we will seek out God. It will be a time of teshuva, it will be a time of repentance, and we will be hungry, and we'll be thirsty. Not like this example that the author just gave, like the man in the desert who's thirsting for water, if you're lost in Ein Gedi. We will be hungry and thirsty for the word of Hashem. Hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem v'shlachti ra'av ba'aretz. Yes, there will be a famine in the land. Lo ra'av lalechem v'lo tzama lamayim ki'im lishmoa es divrei Hashem. When we thirst for the knowledge of God, when we thirst for the word of God, when we hunger for Torah and for connection, we know that there will be redemption. We see here that there are two types of giving. I'm looking at the chat. No one has any questions or comments so far, right? I mean, I'm not. I left it on my screen, not like sitting here reading, but feel free to reach out if you want to. We see here there are two types of giving. One type of giving expresses the natural human desire to help another person in trouble. While such giving does not necessarily emanate from love, which we understand, it emanates from feeling socially responsible to that person in trouble. For the person in need, the recipient may feel love for the giver because he saved my life. Even though the giver doesn't feel love for me, I feel love for him because he gave me water. But the second type of giving emanates from love. that one person feels towards another, not based on giving, not because you gave me something do I love you, but simply because I love you, and the giving is an expression of that. The receiver of such love senses the heart of the giver. The receiver of such love time and again, it's helpful if your name isn't associated with your screen name. Write your name when you finish your comment, just so I could quote it. So just so I know who said it. Do you understand? Not all these names are here. Just so if you want to comment, which I appreciate, just put your name so I know who you are, please. So put your name and then I'm going to quote that chat, okay? The receiver of such love senses the heart of the giver. As it says, famous pasuk from Mishlei, as water reflects a face, kamayim hapanim lapanim, kein lev ha'adam la'adam. As water reflects the face, so to the heart of man to man. So, one second, okay. I think it's from Nancy. Time and again, God tells us to care about people. Oh, it is Nancy. Time and again, God tells us to care about people and much more than we care about things, time and again. And maybe that's something we're also learning from this COVID pandemic and this almost 9 weeks of lockdown. What really are the important things in life? What do we spend our time doing? What do we spend our time chasing after? Are the things we value everlasting connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam? Do we love people just because they're created in the image of God? Do we care for others? Do we want to give to others just to give because we love? Or do we spend time chasing things in life that at the end of the day aren't going to help us at all? Kamayim ha'panim l'panim, kein lev ha'adam la'adam. As water reflects a face, so to the heart of one person to another. That's a pasuk from Mishlei, Perek Chof Zayin, pasuk Yod Tes, 27:19. So I'm going to read you the context. You cannot imagine how teeny the font is. This is from like when I was in Michala in this Nach, but I'm Baruch Hashem still able to see it. So Rashi says, Kemayim hapanim lapanim, kein lev ha'adam adam. As water reflects the face, so to the heart of man to man. Rashi says, Kemayim halalu, like these waters, hapanim sha'ata mara letochan, hein marot lach, like water. Okay, where the face is reflected, so too they will reflect to you. Kein lev ha'adam la'adam. Chaveiro, they will reflect to your friend. Lefi masha adam yodea shechaveiro ohavo. Kein hu maralo panim. When you know that your friend loves you, so too you will show him a face, an appearance, a countenance of love. So if love is in his heart, you perceive that, you understand that, and you will reciprocate that love to him. Kein lev ha'adam la'adam, chaveiro, lefi masha, I translated this already, lefi masha adam yodea, shechaveiro ohavo, kein hu mar elo panim, when you know your friend really loves you, you will reciprocate and show him love back. Says Mitzudas David, who's even smaller than Rashi, if you could imagine. Kemo derech hamayim marim es hapanim, Bedomim lahapanim hamistaklimba, just like water reflects the face of the image that appears in it. Im sochakos, sochakos, the image in the water, if you're laughing, the image in the water is laughing. The im atsuvos, atsuvos, and if you're sad, the image in the water, in the mirror, in the reflection is sad. Kein lev ha'adam la'adam, so to the heart of man to man. Im libo tov al chaveiro, Yitav gam libo, if his heart is good to you, your heart will be good to him. Ve'im ra'a, and if your heart or his heart is bad, mara gam hi, his heart will be bad to you. There's a reciprocal relationship. In giving, it engenders love, and in holding back, it does not engender love. And we have learned, and we have to remember, we all know this anyway, we reviewed tonight, there's two ways of giving. There's physically giving. There is spiritually giving. We can physically sustain others through giving, and we can spiritually sustain others through giving. But the ultimate giving is the giving of the Ribbono Shel Olam to us. He doesn't give to us because that's the foundation of the relationship. The foundation is how much he loves us. Banim atam l'Hashem elkecha. Chaim kul chaim mehoim. We are children to Hashem. And just like a parent gives to the child without limit, without end, and the child can never reciprocate, so too the Ribbono Shel Olam gives to us without end. He is the Ein Sof, he is the Kol Yachol, without end, he is all able. And that engenders love in our relationship and demands of us, v'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. I end with a quote that one of my kids told me. Smile and the whole world smiles back at you. Kamaim ha'panim l'panim, kein lev ha'adam l'adam. So I thank you all for learning with me. Thank you so much again to Elisheva and Mr. Gold. It should be an Aliyah Neshama for Miriam Fron and Tiskul Miskos to her whole family. Besor's Tovas.